Wake up, goddammit!
Boys and girls, this is, something that came in last night. Pop, top, 40, R&B, urban, contemporary, easy listening, funk love.
I'm the artist, midget rat bastard.
Twist size, not feel it.
A lot. Keep coming up short.
Good morning, Twin Cities. It's your main man, Adam West. Pulse of the City. This is how we do each and every Saturday, 8 a.m., 94.1 WFNU, Frogtown Community Radio. This week, my guest will be Katie Kaufman, actress, Twin Cities. She'll be joining us here in just a little bit. Definitely keep it locked for that. WFNU is a volunteer-run station made up of many different community voices. Each program expresses one aspect of that diversity, not the views of WFNU and FNA as a whole. Like we always do about this time, let's get into the tunes. This is Funkadelic, One Nation Under a Groove. WFNU, Frogtown Community Radio.
Thank you.
founders for the public. One nation.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come love, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come love, baby. There's my feet, they lost, that's all. Opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come love up the baby. In walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine. Come love up the baby.
I'll stick with you, baby, for a thousand years. What does the world put you in these golden years?
My sweet, don't break my heart. Doing all right, the kind of get smart. Wish upon day, I believe all the door. I believe all the way.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
There's my baby lost, that's all.
Me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come love up the baby. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll stick with you, baby, for a thousand years. Nothing's gonna touch you in these golden years.
Go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please, continue. You were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were finished. Oh, well, allow me to retort.
What's happening, Twin Cities? Your main man, Adam West, Pulse of the City. That sounds much better. I couldn't hear myself in my headphones last time, so I apologize if I was shouting at everyone. I was not yelling at you. Welcome to the Pulse of the City. This is how we do every Saturday, 8 a.m. Wake up. I got my coffee. I hope you got yours. It's where we discuss voice of the performing arts through an artistic lens of diverse talent across country. And speaking of which, my talent today in the building is actress Katie Kaufman. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the Pulse of the City. Always nice to have a new face in here. Definitely. And just for those who don't know, Katie and I worked as actors with Unit Collective, the Playwright Center, over there in Minneapolis on Franklin Avenue there. And what was the name of that project? It's just skipped my mind. Just
it was
that quick.
Called Madness.
Madness. Yes. It's Madness. Yes. Minneapolis Madness. And that was once a month. A collective of playwrights got together and they wrote really short 10-minute scenes, and they had the actors come in and get their lines like right there on the spot. We rehearsed it a few times and then an audience would show up and we would perform it, and it was lots of fun. And it was madness, people running in circles at the copy machine and pencils flying everywhere, and it was a good time.
It was fun.
It was a good time. Well, Katie, tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Like Adam said, I'm an actor. I also make theater. I went to school for collaborative physical theater, so I make theater with usually an ensemble of people. That varies, and I focus mostly on new work and generating work in the room through improvisation, and then that usually gets solidified into a play. It's a lot of fun, but I also do scripted work and, you know, Shakespeare and traditional things too, but that's sort of my niche.
I really like that, the collaborative theater aspect that you mentioned. What was that like, learning about that? You mentioned you'd went to school for that.
Yeah, so when I was in college, I spent a semester in London, and there was a teacher there that I took class with that was from the sort of European tradition of the school of Jacques Lecoq in Paris, and he was part of an ensemble in London called Théâtre des Complicités. And so I learned from him a little bit, and then saw Complicité's work and a couple other shows in London that were of sort of the same style. And I was like, well, I got to do that. I got to find where they teach that and do that. I was considering going to Paris. I had my roommate who could speak French give them a call to like find out
nice.
How to get into the school.
Nice.
But I had just spent a year abroad when I was looking into going to grad school, and it was just a lot to think about going to Europe for another year. So I chose a school in California, which was a little bit more of a rigorous program. You know, you're in an isolated area, you're just in class, there's no time for anything else. So I went to school at the Del Arte International School of Physical Theater in California. And we studied mime and clown and commedia dell'arte, obviously because of the name. I learned how to make masks. We also did melodrama, which is a really interesting, distinctly American art form. That isn't used in theater much these days, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah. What's that like?
You know, just as you would think, over the top, but, you know, very physicalized, over the top performances. We also studied, like, tango with melodrama. So the scenes that we presented for that sort of unit was tango and opera combined. So just like the dramatic nature of opera combined with like the intense
That'll
tango
blow your hair back
stuff.
That'll definitely blow your hair back.
Yeah. Wow. And we did stuff like acrobatics and it was really
how has that served you as an actress today, you know, in how you approach roles?
Well, it's made me really good at working with groups. That was the, you know, the main focus of the school is ensemble theater. So, you know, each week we got an assignment, we got a different group of people that we had to work with, and, you know, with every group there's like different personalities,
right,
people that sort of, you know, kind of take over, people that and kind of lay back and, you know, don't do any work, you know, lots of different combinations to work with. And every week, you know, we had to generate something to perform on a Friday night that was going to be viewed by the rest of our class, our teachers, and sort of judged as well.
Right,
so,
right, yeah.
I can kind of jump into any sort of group of people and kind of figure out what's missing from the group and try and fill that
right, because you know your position.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. You know, that's one of two of my favorite things about, you know, theater is collaboration and just the whole creative aspect of it. You know collaborating, like you said, you know, getting the meeting of the minds and all, getting them to go in one direction, but once it goes up, you know, it's all worth it. You know, most of the time it always works out.
Yeah,
that's really cool. So what are you working on now?
Well, I am about to start, in October, I will start rehearsals for a show that has been many, many years in the making. It's been my baby for the last 9 years or so. Mm. It's about the first female lighthouse keeper and sort of my experience with motherhood as well. So those two things combining being a parent to being a lighthouse keeper, sort of an isolating job that you're sort of responsible for other people, and it's kind of thankless, and you have to, you know, be up at all hours of the night, you know,
right,
dealing with anything that might come up.
Right.
So I guess this started 9 years ago when I went on a trip to Mystic Seaport in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Connecticut originally, but I was kind of going through that area with my husband, and I was like, oh yeah, let's stop here. I haven't been here since I was a little kid. And in that area, there's this old lighthouse, and in the lighthouse they had a video playing about, you know, lives of the lighthouse keepers. But a whole section of the video was about women lighthouse keepers, and I was like, I didn't know that women did that, and that was really intriguing to me. So I started researching women lighthouse keepers, and came across lots of different stories of different ones, and found this story about Ida Lewis, was the woman I wrote about, and she saved over 18 people on record from drowning, but they think it's as much as maybe 25 people. And she was like a national hero. She was a big deal. She won the first Congressional Medal of Bravery or something like that.
Wow.
And she was really well celebrated. But all this time, she originally started the job because her dad, who was the lighthouse keeper, had a stroke and couldn't do the work anymore. And she was the oldest child, and all the duties fell to her at 15 years old.
Yeah.
So she became this celebrated figure, but she was still not officially the lighthouse keeper.
Right.
So she, you know, had to sort of lobby to actually get the post, get actually assigned the position
certified
that she'd been doing for years and years and had all this national acclaim for, without the actual title and payment that was due to her. So, I don't know. I found it a fascinating
story. The direct
story.
Parallels between what you said and motherhood.
Yeah.
You know, thankless, I see that part. You know, being up all hours of the night and, you know, being responsible. And, wow, that's really interesting. And it was that a random inspiration? And it's developed. And what are your plans with it?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a random inspiration. It was kind of just floating around my head for a while, and I was like, ah, this would be a great piece of theater. And then I had my daughter, and I, you know, kind of things went to the back burner, and that's when this sort of new aspect of the parenthood thing kind of came in. Mm. And a few years ago, I was like, you know, I need to write this play, and having never written a play before, like sat down and wrote a play, mm-hmm. You know, I'd made a lot of plays with a group of people in a room and, you know, making stuff happen and then writing it down at the end. But this is my first attempt to like actually write a play. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I should take a playwriting class.
Ding, ding, ding.
So I did. I took a class online and learned how to write a play. I wrote kind of like, the class was called like the first draft. So I wrote a first draft. I got a residency with this theater that was in Lawrence, Kansas. And I went down there for a week to work on the play, just kind of to have some isolation and time to myself to write this. And then I had a first draft, and I did a little reading in my living room and got some feedback, and then worked on it some more. Last year, I did a thing with Savage Umbrella Theater Company. They had a new program called Night of New Works, which they selected three artists to premiere new works, and I was selected to do that, so I got some free rehearsal space and a venue to perform and kind of put up my revised script at that. Got some more feedback through that process, and then over this past year I've been writing an even newer version of the script, kind of combining these worlds of a, you know, a modern contemporary mother and this lighthouse keeper from the 1800s. And I got a grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board. Yay, arts funding in Minnesota, to produce this show. So now it's, you know, it's fully cast. I've got a director. I've got designers. It's going to be at the Red Eye in November.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's all happening, but it's been a long process, and I hope it's a good one.
I have no doubts that it will be. I have no doubts that it will be. Well, in the meantime, folks, we've got Katie Kaufman here in the studio here with the main man, Adam West. Pulse of the City, this is how we do every Saturday, 8 a.m. Wake up, y'all. It's about 8:21 in the city. Keep it locked. We're going to get back into the tunes here. This is a little Aretha Franklin, Rock Steady, 94.1 WFNU. Thank you.
need the sample. I'm making an incision. I'm cutting off the part of your brain that goes to the root. Put it in from out behind and put it on the shelf. And you can show it to your friends and say, yes, my whole self. Can't do me nothing. Can't tell me nada. Don't fuck me now because I'm fooling the Lamada. Bottom of a good man. Here's my chance to make romance in my B-boy stand. Parlay romancing in the financing. Open up a restaurant with tech dancing. The person checked in, but they never checked out. I set the record straight, no doubt.
What's happening, Twin Cities? Your main man, Adam West, Pulse of the City. Every Saturday, this is how we go. This is how we do. I want to say hello again to my guest, Katie Kaufman, actress. How we doing today?
We're doing good.
Yes. Thank you for joining me again. So, previously where we left off in this program, we were talking about the parallels between motherhood and being a lighthouse keeper. And how you created a fine piece of work that is going to be on its feet at the Red Eye Theater. Definitely looking forward to that. Tell us the name again of that and when it's running.
It's called Keeper of the Light. It's going to be performing November 9th through 19th.
Excellent, excellent. So get there, be square, be there in attendance. Just listening to the story that you had surrounding how the play came to be made me think of my own experiences and in creativity and writing something that's a personal arc to it, and how writing to completion has always been a big challenge for me, because if I'm writing something that's true to form or true to me or whatever the case may be, I feel like I'm constantly writing it, and so it's hard for me to say, okay, this is where it ends, step back, now it's ready to give to somebody. Do you go through that? Describe what coming to the ending before you're ready to share it with others to be workshopped. Describe what that's like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult for me too. Not necessarily being a writer and being more of a performer. I'm always looking for, validation, external validation, as they say. So I've wanted to have, a couple different readings, or I'm always constantly asking for feedback. After the first draft was read in my living room, I got all kinds of feedback, and it was totally overwhelming, and I was like, oh, I might as well quit now. These people, definitely have some problems with some of my script, and I don't know how to fix it, and I put it up on a shelf for a little while, and then came back to it a few months later with kind of a fresh look at it all, and sat down and did some more writing, and then had another point where I feel like I don't have anything else to add again here, and that's when I did a workshop of it, and then I got more feedback, and again I was like, oh my god, this is gonna suck, it's gonna be the worst play ever and people hate it, and I better just not do this anymore. And I was kind of thinking that when I got a grant to work on it more, and I was like, oh god, that means I actually have to do this now. Okay, well, I'm gonna need some help. So I have a friend who is another graduate of Del Arte from a different year, who I kind of had become acquainted with through a project she was doing about just connecting with other people online and our own creative process. And she's mm-hmm. kind of great at being a shepherd of new work. So I contacted her, and with some of my grant funds was able to pay her to sort of be my accountability buddy. You know, she'd give me like different assignments or different feedback every couple weeks, and I'd go and I'd write, and then I'd have a little Skype meeting with her, and we'd talk about it, and she'd ask me really good questions about, you know, what are you really wanting to do here? What do you mean when you say this? Oh, this made me think about this.
Right.
This might be interesting to explore. So I went off in a whole different tangent from where I was before. A lot of the story before was really biographical of this lighthouse keeper and less about me.
Mm-hmm.
But I went off on a whole different area. So, you know, definitely having her was helpful,
mm-hmm.
and having like little introductions into the world of the piece is helpful. So yeah. I would recommend that for you.
Yeah.
It's scary because, you know, it's all in your head for so long, and then it's all between your eyes and your computer screen or whatever you're using to write. And
yeah.
then
yeah.
you got to share it with other people.
Right.
And then that opens you up to feedback, both positive and negative.
Right.
And then,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then what do you do with that feedback?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, shout out to Kim Hines. She's been my dramaturg, coaching me along the way, and I'm at that process of because she's, you know, that's what she's a she does the coaching thing for a living, right? And so when she went through it, and it was just dynamic feedback, but I'm still in the middle of digesting
yeah.
all of that feedback, you know, because it's jogging different memories, different thoughts. I'm, you know, try this, no, erase that. But so yeah, I'm but yeah, it's definitely helpful to have it, because, you know, when you've been looking at it for so long, it starts to, you know, either look all the same, or sometimes you can just be, it's just always good to have somebody else there.
Sure.
When you do anything, when you go buy a car, when you go make a decision to do and stuff, you know, whatever, you always need somebody there to say, oh, I don't know about that, or oh, yep, thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, you think something makes perfect sense to you because you're connecting the dots in your head, or you thought you explained something that you didn't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, so no, I was just really, and kudos to you for doing this, and I look forward to the opening of that. now, in regards to, you know, we were talking about funding for the arts and yay, Minnesota. What type of impact do you see theater in today's society? Is it strictly entertainment value for you? Do you use it as a tool to connect, you know, with the community? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. For me, I like to hear somebody's voice. I think that a lot of the connection with the community is really, for me, I think best served through, you know, marketing and getting people to the show, or, you know, talking about a topic that is sort of universal but in a very personal way, like, you know, for instance, this is about motherhood and about isolation and some things that a lot of people know about, but it's kind of about two specific experiences. So you know, it's not like I went around and, you know, interviewed a bunch of parents, or, you know, talk to people that, you know, have gone on silent retreats or I don't know.
Right.
You know, and that kind of theater has its place too. It's interesting. I was just sitting on an arts panel for the State Arts Board for the next round of this same grant, the Artist Initiative grant, and we had a interesting discussion on the panel. Carlisle Brown, who's a local playwright and who does really great work, kept bringing up whenever people were talking about, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to interview different communities and kind of gather their stories and going to put it into a play. He's like, yeah, you know, there's so much of that. Like, I want to hear what this artist has to say. I want to hear your voice. Because that's going to be the thing that really drives you and also is going to be the thing that audiences are going to connect with, even though you think you're doing a lot of, like, community building by gathering stories and sharing. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the real connection is through what the artist has to say.
Right.
I guess I kind of agree with that. I'd never really thought about it that much before that panel meeting, but I was like, yeah.
Right.
You know, why are you shying away from your own voice by, you know, asking a bunch of other people what they think?
Right. Yeah. And essentially, a community is a collective of many voices anyway.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's hear from one unedited and uncut. That's really exciting. You know, for me, I've done a couple of plays during the time of the school shootings. Back in the, I don't know, it'd been early 2000s, and one thing that I had always been attracted to as far as projects were I like the true to life topic stories that are current events that are circulating that, because usually we have some sort of post play symposium, everybody gets together and has that dialogue. And I've always enjoyed that, but it was a play about a gentleman whose son had been murdered by a school shooter, and the school shooter turned the gun on himself. And so it was about that father of the victim and his other son traveling to the state of the school shooter's father and meeting and having dialogue. It was called Good Boys by Jane Martin. We performed it at the Guthrie, and we also performed it at the ACT in Seattle. And the discussions, you know, afterward was what moved me, because I really believe in the creative voice, and like you had really mentioned earlier, talking to Carlisle Brown about how it's more interesting to, you know, to hearing what the artist you know has to say, because it changes a lot of the perspective of what you see on TV on how you perceive other people. And I feel like that is something that I like to contribute to feeding that dialogue, feeding that other layer that isn't as topical as what you're just seeing on a surface level every day. And that's what makes theater, you know, real to me as a performer, and now, you know, as broadcasting and talking about it. Because I think it's necessary. I mean, for me as a young man coming up who had a lot of pent-up energy and who kept a lot of things inside, you know, theater was presented to me, and just ran with it, because it provided me that, oh, okay, so here's another outlet to this. And so, you know, a lot of teaching artists I meet with, we all kind of giggle about the same thing, about how some of the best part of the whole gig is watching one of your students, the light bulb come on when they've got it,
yeah,
or when they had their moment of truth with the dialogue, and that whole process and how it makes it all worth it. And for me, that's something that I'm all about keeping alive. You know, yay Minnesota Arts Board, congratulations on the grant. And again, you know, much success with the future project. Now, you know, once you get past this, what's opening night gonna be like for you?
I don't really know. I'm kind of in the area right now where I'm kind of trying to start my fundraising. I'm doing all the promotional stuff. I'm trying to put a lot of the things in motion, so once I'm in rehearsals, I don't have to think about the producer's hat, which I'm, you know, wearing a lot of hats as a producer. So I'm hoping that opening night will be just kind of a celebration of the, you know, maybe not end, but the real full expression of this idea that was sparked so many years ago that it's been sort of like rattling around in my head for forever.
Right.
And all the work that has gone into it and all the, you know, energy I've spent on it over the years. And hopefully it will be well received. Hopefully, you know, people will, you know, get it. It's not going to be a really linear story because the work I do is a little bit abstract. There's going to be a lot of movement in it. There's going to be dream sequences. You know, I go through space and time. There's shadow puppets.
Nice,
It's going to go a lot of weird places, yeah. But I think that, you know, because I'm not really a linear left brain thinker, I think the work will hopefully impact people on a deeper level, subconscious level. That maybe, I don't think this kind of show is a really great post-show discussion show, because it's not like, you know, a topic, or I think it's something people will have to sit with for a while and kind of digest. So
that sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
That sounds really exciting. And you're kind of running the gamut of all everything you talk about in your training, you know, with the shadow puppets and the physicality of it.
Yeah.
And how many people are in the cast?
There's 5 people in the cast. I will be playing Ida Lewis. Mm-hmm. There is another person that is playing a character of me, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
So I will not be playing myself. And then I have a chorus of 3 men that will be playing all the other characters in the play, including the lighthouse itself, the sea and the storm, the Industrial Revolution, historical figures from the day, some of the people that were rescued. So they're going to be, you know, kind of popping in and out and being shapeshifters and
Wow. And what's that like to? I mean, being the anticipation of hearing your work out on its feet and being in the atmosphere of your work on stage in completion has just got to be really gratifying, validating feeling. You know, what's the now the rehearsal process, the casting process? What types of personalities or what types of things were you looking for to capture the essence of your script?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely was looking for people that know how to play and know how to invent. While, you know, I wrote this script and there is scripted dialogue and scenes are sort of fleshed out, there are whole sections of the script where it's like a storm happens and that's up to the cast to kind of make in the room. So I needed people that knew how to create environments for their bodies, how to play with others well, how to invent, how to just kind of throw themselves into the work. You know, of course I was gonna always play Ida Lewis, although at one point I was thinking, well, maybe I should be myself, and then my director was like, no, that's a terrible idea, don't do that. You don't want it to be like a, you know, a therapy piece for yourself. So I had to find someone who could, you know, realistically play me or play, you know, a mother, but also who had some of the same sort of traits as I do. The person that I cast, her name is Caitlin Osborne, and she is also a Del Arte graduate, so I know what she's coming to the table with. And then for the ensemble, it wasn't until I did a reading of it this spring where I decided, oh, it's got to be all men. For whatever reason, in my head, it was just like, oh, yeah, it'll be a mix of men and women, and, you know, there will be some cross-gender, you know, characterizations. And then somehow during the reading, you know, whoever showed up that night, all the people that read for those parts were men. And I was like, oh, no, this says something else entirely. This is the whole patriarchal complex that this lighthouse keeper is trying to overcome. You know, yeah. She's fighting against this whole establishment. And it actually is important that they're all men. So I had to find men to play these roles, which is a little bit tricky, just in terms of the amount of people out there doing this kind of work that aren't equity already, that, you know, aren't already grabbed up by another production. I had to do some hard work to get this cast, but I really love the people that I've got now. And
awesome.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really great ensemble.
That's really great. All right, well, we got a little bit of time left here. Pulse of the City. Katie Kaufman, keep it locked. 94.1 WFNU Frogtown Community Radio.
You can't see. parents have any children that live?
Sir, yes, sir.
I bet they regret that. You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece. What's your name, fat body?
Sir, Leonard Lawrence, sir.
Lawrence, Lawrence what, of Arabia?
Sir, no, sir.
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Sir, no, sir.
Pulse of the City, your main man Adam West, guest Katie Kaufman. It's about 8:57. We're going to get ready to get up on out of here. I want to thank my guest, Katie, for being in the house today.
Thank you for having me in, Adam. It's been fun. I've never been on the radio before, so it's kind of exciting to broadcast my voice and my story, and I'm grateful for the platform.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. Welcome back anytime. And one more time, plug your show.
Oh, one more time. Keeper of the Light at the Red Eye Theater, November. I misspoke before. It's November 10th through 19th at the Red Eye Theater.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. And as always, you can catch me at www.unofficialadamwest.com. It has all my contact information every Saturday. Catch me here, Pulse of the City, 8 a.m. This is how we do. Shout out to Frogtown for hosting this event like they always do each and every week. Definitely want to stay in the loop of what WFNU is doing. You can log on to WFNU.org. You can also stream live any of the shows, Saturday a.m. in particular. At WFNU.org, just click listen, and there will be. Until next time, Twin Cities, it's your main man Adam West. Make it a great weekend. Peace.